Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson of the day found in Luke 23. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is our text. Dear people of God, what an odd place to find the Lord of Lords and King of Kings on this day celebrating his royalty and his divinity. Behold God's Messiah on the cross. Beaten, bloodied, used up, nailed up, humiliated. He hung upon that awful cross. A cross that it was shameful even to think of in his day. But a cross that has become the dear cross to us, because on it hangs our Savior and our salvation. A cross that we also must pick up and carry behind our Savior as we follow him through our difficult Christian lives. But we are not the only ones who see the Lord Jesus on the cross on this day, for there were others. There were people and groups who beheld the crucifixion also. I count five groups here in this text who beheld the Lord's Messiah nailed on the cross. First of all, the people, Luke calls them. They stood watching. No longer were they cheering for his death. They just stood and watched. They didn't seem to know what to say or even what to think. They were not mocking him like the others were, but neither were they helping him. Certainly there were some in this crowd of people who were also in the crowd 5 days earlier when the crowd cheered his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Certainly there were some in this crowd who also were in Pontius Pilate courtyard earlier on this Good Friday, chanting for his execution. But now, not so much chanting from them. I don't think that they thought it would actually happen. The case was so flimsy against him, and now they just watch in horror, as the Romans do what Romans do best: torture and kill. Then there were the rulers of the people, the chief priests and the Sanhedrin. They were having a good time. They were the ones who mocked him. They enjoyed it. They hated Jesus, and they were glad to see him suffer. And their jeers show us that they knew exactly what Jesus claimed to be. They yell at him and they accuse him of being God's Messiah, that is, the Christ. See, the Jews knew and taught for hundreds of years that when the Christ would come, he would also be the Son of God. That was not an idea that Jesus invented. That was a long-held belief. And these high priests certainly knew that, and that that's what Jesus was claiming to be. They call him the Chosen One. That is, the one promised to Adam and Eve, promised to Abraham, to Moses, to King David. The one that all those heroes of faith prayed for and longed to see and did see by faith, the same way that we see him. These rulers of the people even called Jesus the Savior. He saved others, they said. Notice they don't question that. They don't say he pretended to help other people. The evidence was overwhelming. Jesus saved others. That's the best that they can accuse him of. These rulers, these chief priests, made quite an anti-confession of what they feared Jesus to be. Also at the scene of the crucifixion were the Roman soldiers. They were working on that day. And they were watching, and they wanted to join in on the fun. But the soldiers really didn't know what to say. They didn't know what was appropriate. So if you notice, the soldiers just end up imitating what the chief priests are yelling. Save yourself! Like they said, nana, nana, boo, boo. You know, just gibberish coming off their tongues. They can see the sign that's nailed over his head. They put it there. Oh, this guy is supposed to be the King of the Jews. Hey, King, if you're so great, save yourself. As Jesus said earlier on the same day, they do not know what they are doing. Pontius Pilate was not at the scene of the crucifixion, but his words were, Pilate is the one who had that sign made and made sure that it got placed up there. And you can bet that that sign was a jab at the leaders of the Jews. Pilate hated them. That sign was as if to say, here's your king, you blowhards. What's happening to him should also happen to all of you. But just like the leaders of the Jews, in mockery, Pilate got it right. The sign is absolutely truthful. Jesus is the long-promised King of the Jews, the Savior who was to come to his people. And then there was one of the criminals, this hardened unbeliever. It takes a hard, hard heart to use one of your last breaths to curse and to mock somebody else. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Yet people talk this way all the time. You've heard that. People say these stupid and silly things. If there is a God, may he strike me with lightning right now. The most awful things come off of people's tongues. They imagine God to be their slave. And they're slave in the most imbecilic things. If God doesn't do this thing right now, then he doesn't exist. That is to say, if God doesn't do what I want him to do, then I'm going to punish him by not believing in him. Yeah, go ahead. The people were amazed as they looked at Jesus on that cross. And we are amazed as we look at the people who are watching Jesus on the cross. How could such horrible things be spoken by them on this day? And when they're dreamers of our day aren't even close. They mock God without any knowledge at all. But either way, don't ever let it not shock you. Don't ever listen to words like this and not be horrified at what people say. The godlessness and anger of people toward the Lord and toward his little lambs should always be astonishing to us. And we don't wish them ill. We don't desire their damnation. Rather, we pray for them. Like Jesus, we ask the Father to have mercy upon them. And maybe it'd be just best for us to be shocked that there are some who get it. Like the penitent malefactor, the other criminal, this very famous and humble thief on the cross. He got it. This account in Luke shows us that these two criminals hung on either side of Jesus, they knew each other. Possibly they were in on the same crime. And it's also possible that they were in on it with Barabbas, who probably was designed to be crucified in the middle. But then Jesus took his place. This other criminal says he was guilty. And he tells the other guy he's guilty too. It was not a lawyer's trick. It was not a rigged jury that got these guys executed. He says they got what their deeds deserve. And maybe this criminal knew something of the Messiah. That's also possible. He's being executed in Jerusalem. He probably was a local criminal. And being a local, he would have learned something of the Messiah as a child. Perhaps his mother taught him when he was little. All we know is that he was on the scene when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." That's all the word of God that we know that this man heard, along with these accusations thrown at Jesus. And as that criminal hung there on the cross, he put it all together. And he acquired faith as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Those few words of God got to him. The mercy of Jesus made an impression upon him, and it moved him to ask the Lord a great, great favor. This penitent malefactor had the faith to address Jesus as the promised Christ from ancient times. He looked at him as the Son of God, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, the chosen one, the Savior King of the Jews. And as such, this thief on the cross addressed him and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom. When you are enthroned on high above the heavens, when you begin your rule with all power and authority, if you, Lord, would just remember my name, I know I'll be saved." Notice he does not ask for a mansion. He does not ask for a room. He does not ask for a bed in heaven. All he asks is that Jesus remember his name. And that will be enough. And our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, "No." I had a professor who told us that the Lord answers every one of his people's prayers in the positive. The Lord does not always give you exactly what you ask for, although sometimes he does. Sometimes he hears your prayer and gives you exactly what you prayed for. Other times, he gives you something better. Let's say You pray to win the lottery. Most of the time, the Lord says, no, that money wouldn't be good for you. You wouldn't handle that very well. How about I give you something better? How about if I keep you dependent on me for every meal and every moment of every day? That way you will see how I myself take care of you. See, the Lord loves nothing greater than one of his dear children are wondering how they're going to make it through the night, how they're going to pay their bills, how they're going to make it home through the storm. And then all of a sudden, you do. And the Christian says, I didn't do that. The Lord must have done that. The Lord does these things. These things that the unbeliever can't see. Things only you can see and make you say from your heart, the Lord truly does all things well. This penitent malefactor asked for the Lord to remember him, and the Lord says, no, I'm not going to remember you on some future coronation date. I've got something much better in store for you. Today, after they break your legs, after you bleed out, after the suffering of this sinful world is over, but yet today, you will be with me in paradise. And at this point, the Bible skeptic jumps up and says, wait a second, how can this guy be in heaven with Jesus today if on the same day Jesus himself is going to die and then is going to go into his grave for 3 days where he can rise again, as you Christians say? Well, he can do that because he's Jesus. Don't you know who this Jesus is? As his enemies accused him, he is the Lord's Messiah, the Christ of God, the Son of God, the eternal King of heaven and earth. He is the Almighty, the Omniscient, the Omnipresent God, who is always and at all times everywhere. He is in heaven and on earth and in this church and in your home and in your car and in your mind and in your soul. He can do all those things. Jesus is the Lord. At least that's how the scriptures describe him. And I know that fewer and fewer people believe that Holy Scripture is still the inspired and inerrant word of God. But I still believe that. And therefore, when Jesus says that this man will be in paradise with him on this day, I believe that. And since I believe that this man was saved, I also believe that this sinner can be saved. If him, then me. And if me, than you. For you love the Lord Jesus, the King of heaven, the King of creation, the King of the Jews, the King of your heart, Christ the King. Behold, God's Messiah. Amen.